on the banks of the Grand River, high above the Allura Gorge. This is the Buzzer Podcast. Indie music, new releases, industry insiders, out-of-the-box conversations with guests from the true north, from the west coast to the east coast, to across the pond, and from down under. And now, here is Shay.
Hey, y'all. I am Shay. This is the On Air Indie Show. Welcome and enjoy episode 52. First, music history facts for June 8. Dolly Parton was number one on the U.S. country chart in 1974 with I Will Always Love You. Colonel Tom Parker approached Dolly to have Elvis cover the song. She refused when Parker asked the songwriter to sign over half of the publishing rights. It went on to become a number one hit for Whitney Houston in 1972, featured in The Bodyguard. Multi-talented Katrina Anastasia is on the show today, and she's a singer, songwriter, stylist, and designer. Her debut album released June 3rd. The EP is a story of the emotions present when meeting someone new and letting them get to the best part of yourself. We talk about her music, the environment, and women in music. From the release of her debut single, Soba, Katrina's unique vocals and harmonies have attracted a growing fan base. A talented young artist. Enjoy the show. Hi, Katrina. How are you today?
Good. How are you doing, Shay?
Good.
Awesome.
It's actually awesome. It's getting sunny out there.
Yes, I can't. I'm so happy it's finally summer.
Yeah, same. I enjoy it. Dog gets longer walks, too.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
I love your music.
Thank you.
But listening to it, I can't put you in any genre box. It's a mix of different styles. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I hear that all the time. Or, you know, I hear one person will put it in this genre, someone else will put it in the other genre. So I'm kind of open to that, though, because I think with artistry and with creation, and especially with music, I never want to limit myself. I always want to try new things and really see the potential of my artistry and just do the most that I can.
Well, that's a wise thing to do, especially when you're just starting out.
Yeah.
Just starting out. Well, we're here to talk about your album that released June 3rd.
Yes. My very first EP. Yeah. A Moment in Time.
A Moment in Time. Yeah. Congratulations. Three tracks on the EP.
Yeah.
And this is,
Thank you. You
released your music before. Can you tell us a bit about your former releases, in particular I-41? Because that's an incredible project.
Yeah, so I've released three singles before this three-song EP is going to come out. First one, Soba, which was my debut single, which I got a lot of really, really great feedback on that. The second one's Far Away. Both of those are really slow and relaxing and groovy. And then I, for One, is the most recent single I put out. I put it out on Earth Day, so April 22nd. And the song is all about if I could hear the earth, if I could hear what it's saying or how it's feeling, that's what the song is all about. So the song is almost me embodying the earth and kind of, you know, asking for help, reaching out, trying to show, you know, that me, in quotations, as earth, is hurting and needs help from us and really trying to get that message out there. Because I feel, you know, us saying, hey, do better to the earth, you know, some people listen and some people don't really relate to that. So within the song, I kind of changed. Instead of me constantly talking about earth as something else, I talked with the earth like as myself, to make people more relate to that and say, okay, kind of like personifying the earth, you know. So with that, I also, over the span of a year from March 2020 to about mid-April, I asked my friends, my close friends and my family, people who were within my circle that once they were done with their disposable masks, that instead of throwing them out, they would just put them in a bag and collect them. And then after they would collect about 20, I'd bring them home, I'd wash them all, hang them to dry, and then I prepped them all. And I basically made a whole outfit out of 155 masks. And I filmed that whole process. And that is what the Eye for One music video is. So that was really fun, really interesting. I got a lot of really great feedback on that. And I'm really proud of myself for doing that, because it totally tested my patience, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's actually an incredible project that you took on.
Thank you.
I'm an environmentalist too.
It's so important.
I've been an upcycler for, oh my word, years, but very focused on recycling. Upcycling is using old and making it new. Like if I have a pair of jeans, I don't throw them out. I make a purse. Or
yeah,
a pillow,
exactly.
Or something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really get that, the idea. And the music video is great.
Thank
very
you.
Good. I was quite impressed. I sewed as well, so I know how much work you did.
Yeah, it was a lot, especially because I had to work with every individual mask and to try to get them straight and lined up and everything. It was definitely a hassle, but I'm super proud of myself. I'm really glad I went through with it.
Yeah, it would be hard because there's no bias in a mask.
Yeah.
And every time you change them, it would change the way it stretched, and it fit you really well. You did a good job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So when did you pick up music? Like what was the first instrument that you learned?
So I would say the first instrument that I learned was definitely singing. I've been singing my whole life. I always picked up on songs and the lyrics of songs really early on as a child. Like I would remember whole albums when I was like 3 or 4 that my mom would just play a lot. And then as I got older, I was put into musical theater. So I did a lot of musical theater in grade school where, you know, that's where I learned my stage presence, performing, enunciation, and just more, you know, performance singing. And then when I turned 16, I went into the studio and recorded vocals for a song for a different artist. And they were like, you should really write your own songs. And I was like, okay, because I honestly never thought that being an artist or being a musician would be attainable for me, because I didn't have any connections, I didn't have much money, I didn't have much experience. So I actually took it off the table for a while because I just didn't think it was possible. And then as I started writing and I started getting great feedback, I got more and more inspired and dedicated to the craft. So yeah, I've been singing for a long time, and I've been writing songs since I was about 16. And ever since then, I've just been, you know, working around it, playing with the structure, playing with different sounds, grabbing inspiration from many genres. Like I listen to a ton of music. I don't just listen to one certain genre. So I try to take a inspiration from everything and make it my own.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that you felt that because of your, I wouldn't say background, but you felt that you didn't have the connections and that, and taking it off the table. But mm-hmm. you can look to Elvis, the Rolling Stones, who, like, a lot of these gods in music had nothing. They started with nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's good. You have a very supportive network. I've been following you on Facebook and Instagram, and you work very hard for your craft.
I definitely try to stay working and productive, that's for sure. Because anytime I'm not productive, I definitely, it doesn't make me feel very good. So I do as much as I can. And I'm very hard on myself, to be honest, for how much I'm doing. And people are always like, you're doing so much. But to me, I feel like I'm not doing enough. So I'm always just trying to stay on top of it and stay as ahead of my plan as usual.
That's a mark of somebody that makes it.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully it will happen.
What is your approach, your creative approach when you structure a song? How does it happen?
So often, like when I was younger, before I knew a lot more producers, I would just go on YouTube and look up, Amy Winehouse type beats or just slow instrumentals. And then I would basically put the song on and then either put recording on my phone or on Photo Booth on my computer. And I would just start freestyling a melody, words. I wouldn't put too much pressure on myself. I would just go with the flow and see whatever came out. As I got older, I met more producers, so they send me beats and then I'll write to beats that people send me, because it's pretty difficult to, you know, find a beat off YouTube and then have someone recreate it or something like that. So I like to just work with a beat that I can actually use before I start writing now. So yeah, I'll just do the same sort of thing. I'll put it on, I'll start recording on my phone and I'll just sing away. And most of the time, little words will come up and then I'll be like, okay, this is kind of the picture that I'm painting. This is the story. And then I'll just write from there. Yeah, that's normally what it is. I'm not much of a writer without the music. I normally have to have some sort of music behind me first, and then I can, because I always write to the melody of something, or I always write to the structure of a song. But I have written some poems and stuff without music that I've incorporated into songs before.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's normally my writing process. Pretty just relaxed. I try not to overthink it or put too much pressure on myself, because it always sounds better when you're just letting the music take you in whatever direction it feels like.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Your track Melody, just yeah. on the EP that's coming out, we're mm-hmm. going to listen to that shortly. Can you tell us a bit about the inspiration for the song?
Yeah, for sure. So that beat I actually heard when I was in the studio with the producer. His name's True on the beat. He lives out in Guelph. And I heard he only had 50 seconds to that song when he first sent it to me. Mm-hmm. And I was in the studio and I was like, oh, that's super cool. Send it to me. Whatever, whatever. And then years go by, like 2 or 3 years. And all I had was the hook for that song. So that main part. And I was initially just going to use it as kind of like an interlude. So just be the hook. And then I reached out to him and I was like, hey, I'm going to use this on my project. And then he ended up sending me the rest, like a full length version of a song. So I ended up just taking that hook that I had made years ago and then added on the verses and the bridge and all those type of things. And the song is just kind of about those situations in life where you have an opportunity where you could have, you know, made something happen with either someone you find inspiring or someone you're attracted to or someone you feel connected with, but you're too nervous in that moment to say anything. So the opportunity gets missed. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what that song is all about.
Okay. Sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to listen to Melody.
it's a deal.
That was mixed by a Quick Draw Girlfriend, and I see that they also produced one of your tracks.
Yeah, I've been working with him a lot. He's from the Bay Area. I actually met him on Facebook a couple years ago, and we've collaborated on a few songs. And then I also have a single coming out after this EP that him and I collaborated on as well. He's a great producer. He just got into mixing, so he's been doing a really, really great job so far. I really enjoy working with him.
And the videos that you do, who produces those?
So most of the time I direct my own music videos because I don't have too much of a budget at the moment. So I just reach out to the people that I know and see if they're down to collaborate on the project, or sometimes I'm able to make up some sort of budget to obviously accommodate for people's time and energy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the most part, it's just friends that I have close by to me. I try to work with as many different people as possible because I like to meet new people. I like to create with new people. There's always room for growth and improvement and learning in those situations. So until I've got a lot of budget, then I've just been collaborating with a bunch of creatives around the city, because it's always great to have different perspectives and views on videos or content or photo shoots and stuff like that.
Yeah, I see that you collaborate well.
Mm-hmm.
One of the songs you co-wrote with Cherokee Mad.
Mm-hmm.
And which song was that?
That's Moments, so the last song on the EP.
Oh, so that's the one we're going to listen to soon.
Yeah.
And what was that guy? I thought so, but I wasn't sure. Tell us about the collaboration process.
With Terry. On Moments? Yeah, so him and I, he's actually an artist himself. He goes by Lou Val, and he's doing really, really great for himself. Gets thousands and thousands of streams. But I've known him for many years now, probably like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I got connected with him through a friend of mine who goes by Tyreek or Die. He does more like EDM stuff. But yeah, we got connected through that, and he honestly was always keeping me motivated. He's believed in me since day one, before I had any music out, and he always just told me to keep pushing. So we decided to meet up a few times, and just because we're both good writers, but it's always great being in the room with another writer, because both of your styles can kind of mend, whereas sometimes I don't hear something that he would hear, or he doesn't hear something that I hear. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we would just put on the beat and then just flow with it. Same sort of thing. We'd keep our phones on record and just capture whatever that moment brought us. And that's why the song's name is Moments, because it was just in that moment we wrote it. And yeah, no, that's a great song. Everyone I've showed, that's one of their favorite songs.
Yeah, it is a good song. And Quick Draw Girlfriend was involved in the writing of the song, producing and mixing this time.
Yeah. Well, he didn't write the song. He produced the beat and he mixed it. So and Tariq, we wrote the song, and Quick Draw Girlfriend, he produced it and mixed it. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So we're going to listen to Moments.
Back when I was younger, back when I was younger, I would have an emotion. Minutes felt like I was now
harder to focus.
Wasted all my time with you to
fill your moment.
Something's on my mind, I had to
end my frustration.
Liquor in my system got me slow
emotion.
But I don't wanna leave you, cause I'm stuck in the motion with you. Yeah, criminal and I played the fool. Really mess with my mood. But you're a vibe and attraction. Yes, you are, baby. You're a vibe and attraction. You're a vibe and attraction. Yes, you are, baby. You're a vibe and attraction. Can't get my time anymore. Bitch, you're sad when you think of me. Get my time anymore, bitch. You're sad when you think of me. Can't get my time anymore, bitch. You're sad when you think of me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can't get my time anymore, bitch. You're sad. You. I don't wanna call you, but I do, baby. Does this shit get any better? Will this feeling last forever? Why is it that you're still on my mind, baby? Wonder if you're feeling better. Hope you're happy that you're better. You gave it up. You can't deny it, baby. I'm living it up. Don't try to get back, baby. I've had enough. I'm locking you out, baby. Not picking you up. This time it was on, baby. You'll be fine, take some time, maybe. You're still a vibe and attraction. Yes, you are, baby. You're a vibe and attraction. Vibe and attraction. Yes, you are, baby. Yes, you are, baby. Can't get my time anymore. Bitch, you said when you think of me. Time anymore, bitch, you're sad when you think of me. Can't get my time anymore, bitch, you're sad when you think of me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Can't get my time anymore, bitch, you're sad. Yeah, I don't wanna call you.
You know, question I have, your EP is called A Moment in Time, mm-hmm. and the three tracks are Melody, Moments, and Mist.
Yes.
There has to be a theme there.
Yeah, so one of my lucky numbers is 3, and I was very close to only putting out 2 singles.
Okay.
But it didn't feel complete without a third song, so... I've been throughout all my releases, I normally try to keep the releases on dates like the 9th or the 3rd, or because 9 and 3 are both my lucky numbers. So there's 3 songs on the EP, and then 2 of them had already had titles with an M, and then one of them didn't. And I was like, okay, I just have to make them all with an M. And then if you kind of like mix the words around, you know, it could be like a missed moment melody or a moment's missed melody, or you know what I mean? So it's kind of to encapsulate the whole project is just, you know, the feeling of either missing someone or missing an opportunity, the moment within that, and then kind of the whole project is, you know, my melody, my expression of these feelings and my writing of these feelings and how I express them in those moments, mm-hmm. to, you know, feel closure for myself or just to feel better, you know?
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. I picked it up. So you did well with that message.
Thank you.
I just said it was odd. And I go, they all have M. Something that, yeah, it's just, you could mix it up very, very
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just decided to put a melody first because it's a little bit more upbeat, and it's always good to have something that's, you know, intriguing at the beginning of a project because you don't want someone to just listen to the first song and get bored and leave. So I kept Melody, which is higher tempo. Mist is slower tempo, a little bit shorter of a song, and then Moments is, you know, everyone's favorite. So I put it at the end. So, you know, it ends on a great message. And then, you know, if you replay the whole EP after Moments, it just all works together really great. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad I went with that sequence.
Are you working on new music for the that will be coming out this year?
Yeah, so like I mentioned before, I have a single that's going to be coming out after this EP, and then I'm planning to just drop a few other singles. And then when it gets into fall and winter, I actually really want to lock in, and I would love to create a whole album. Mm-hmm. So for the most part, I've been pretty on top of my recording, and I spent weeks getting all my recording done to make sure that the vocals were ready for this EP and then ready for some of the singles after. So honestly, on top of the mask project and all the recording, I've taken a little break to work on, you know, the business side of everything. So reaching out to people, doing interviews, doing podcasts like this one. And then, you know, sooner or later, I'll get back to writing new music and planning for more releases, for sure.
Okay, so the single that you mentioned is being released when?
The single is going to be July 3rd.
July 3rd.
So exactly another 1 month three. After the EP. Yeah, another three, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that.
Thank you.
So as a young artist, what do you find most challenging about building a brand on social media?
I find the most challenging is staying on top of everything and giving every aspect of my music, the content, and the business side of things my full attention. Because I don't have a manager right now. I don't have anyone helping me, you know, with PR, with marketing, with all these things. So mm-hmm. I obviously put a lot of energy into writing the songs. I record it all myself as well. I have Pro Tools. I, you know, comp everything. I do all that myself, send it off to a mixer. And then, you know, I got to plan photo shoots. I've got to figure out the video content. I got to do write-ups to send to blogs and playlists and all those things. So my weakness right now is definitely getting my music and my project out to more blogs and more playlists, mm-hmm. Just because it's not something I'm super familiar with, but I really want to put more attention and more time into that so that when I do have a release, you know, it's getting shared with a much larger amount of people, rather than if I were to just release it and I hadn't reached out to any blogs, then it would probably just get shown to, you know, my community, my following, and then a few others outside of that. Mm. But I would love, of course, to go international and have people all over the world listening to my stuff. I think that would be super great.
Well, they will.
They I will, yeah, for sure.
The podcast that you're on airs in 21 countries.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Yeah. I'm like you. I have to do the business end and the creative end. And my husband does some of the business end. And, last he looked, there was 23 countries. Yeah. 21.
That's amazing.
21 countries. Yeah, it was pretty cool. That's amazing. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's always great to have help. Or, you know, and another thing too with Tyreek, the guy who I wrote the song, is he's been a really great mentor too, because he's been in the industry for a few years longer than I have. He's got a team. He's got, you know, he's got people to help him. So anytime I have any questions or any recommendations, I always reach out to him, and he helps me, you know, stay grounded and stay focused and, you know, pushes me in the right direction. Because that's another thing too. I get nervous that I'll do something wrong or mm-hmm. won't be good enough. But I've kind of realized that nothing that I put work and effort into can be considered not good enough, because no matter what, I still did something and I still put, you know, the work and energy into it. And so if anyone has anything bad to say, it doesn't really affect me, because I did the best that I can with the resources that I had.
No, definitely. And also learning to do it yourself is a benefit, because when you can get to the point that you have a manager and a PR team and that, you'll be able to put your personal stamp on it, probably save mm-hmm. money because you'll hire the right people because you know how it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it'll all work out.
Yeah, for
just
sure.
Just be true to yourself. So
exactly.
If there's something about the industry that you could change, what would it be?
What I would change about the industry is I find that for the most part, it seems like when it comes to women in the industry, that it seems like they're always in competition with themselves. Like one has to be better than the other, or, you know, one song is trending more than the other, whatever it is. Right. And, not, that doesn't just happen in music. That happens almost everywhere. And I don't like that about it, because I feel that women should be supporting each other. Women should be collaborating more. Women should be working on projects more, because, you know, sometimes I see songs with men and there's like five different artists on the song, whereas sometimes with when it's just women, normally it's just one or two, or it feels very orchestrated. So I just, if there was one thing I could change, it would just be, you know, more women, or, you know, anyone who identifies with anything, to just collaborate more and support each other. And, you know, if just because I'm an artist in Toronto doesn't mean that I'm not going to share another artist that's, you know, has the same music as me on my profile and share their work. You know what I mean? So I think it's just important for us to collaborate with each other. And, you know, it's pretty crazy too. Anytime I put out anything on my social media saying, hey, I've got a project, I'm looking for people to work with, oftentimes it's all guys that reach out to me. And don't get me wrong, it's, I've never had any issues. It's always great. But, you know, it's very rare for there to be a full female or female identifying or whoever team of people. And that's something that I'd really like to experience as well. Or even, you know, equal amount of men, female, you know, and everything in between outside of that. So yeah, that's something that I would change, and that I'm striving to change. I always try to repost other girls that I know in the city that are working on music and those type of things, because it's important for sure.
Well, with things like that, the only thing that you can control is your own environment. And reaching out to other female artists is probably the best bet.
Exactly, yeah.
Do you feel that the music industry sexualizes women?
I do. I always notice that with, I mean, this is the thing. So there's always the argument over, you know, it's my body, I can do what I want. And I fully agree with that. Like, whether if someone wants to wear a bikini somewhere, then that's their choice. But in the end of the day, you know, people always say, you know, that sex does sell, and it makes sense. So hopefully that can, you know, over time, be less important of a factor. And, you know, maybe the person's message or their music or their influence can be more important than just what their body looks like or what they look like. But I've definitely noticed, it seems like within pop culture, if you have a younger artist, or if you have a younger artist, they're one way, they're, you know, they're a kid, and then all of a sudden it goes to like completely the other side. I see that a lot. So I definitely do think that women are sexualized in the music industry, but I am grateful that, you know, the times that we're in right now, people feel more comfortable and safe to speak out about things. Not only just on being sexualized, but treatment in the workplace. You know, if it's a unfair deal or people are being taken advantage of, people feel more comfortable to speak out about it now, because other people will speak out about it too or support them. So I think that's really important. And I'm really grateful to be living in a time like this, because I've definitely heard some stories about people who are taken advantage of in situations like that. And it's not very good, because no one really deserves those type of things just to pursue their dreams.
I firmly believe that if an artist is true to themselves, regardless of what they want to wear, a corset on stage or jeans and cowboy boots, if they're true to themselves, that's what is important. That's what is important. If the pressure from the public and the people around them, if being managers or whatever, is to do something they're not comfortable with, then that's not okay. And you're right. It's become a time now that people can speak out and say, no, I don't want to. And that's good. Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, no problem.
So what channel is the best to follow you on?
I'm most active on Instagram. So my at on Instagram is katrina.anastasia. So that's katrina.anastasia. Although all my music videos are on YouTube, but I'm definitely the most active on Instagram. I'm posting on my story and stuff almost every day. So
yeah, I see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a great platform though. It's visual. You can share video clips. You can, I love that community.
Yeah. Instagram's great. And you can also, you know, of course you always have to be careful with what you're seeing on social media. Cause it can be easily skewed, but it's great for seeing, you know, what's going on around the world and sharing with your followers what's going on around the world. And I really try to use my social media platforms to share those type of things, because it's important to share things that people are going through that we may never even know or realize unless we were actually there. So Instagram and those type of social medias, it makes it a lot easier to spread awareness about things, also about, you know, the Me Too movement and all those things within the entertainment industry. It's the same sort of thing for when there's crazy stuff going on all around the world. It's important for us, you know, people who don't have to, you know, thankfully, but unfairly, don't have to deal with those type of things. You know, I just hope that one day we can all get to a place where there's peace and people, you know, have the same opportunities to education and resources as we thankfully do. Hopefully we can get there one day.
Good thing to strive for. Good thing to strive for. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I really enjoyed getting to know you better.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Love your music and keep working at it.
Thank you. I definitely will. I've got big dreams in mind. So as my team builds, as my music, you know, reaches more audience, I'll be able to, you know, have the help and the support to make my bigger dreams and ambitions come true. That's for sure.
I can see it happening.
Me as well.
Yeah. Great. Have a great night.
Thank you. You too.
Well, thank you all for tuning in. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, please share this episode with others and post about it on social media. To catch all the latest from The Buzzer and upcoming shows, you can follow us on Instagram at The Buzzer Media and on Twitter at The Buzzer Indie. Catch you at the pod next episode, On Air Indie, from my pad to yours over the airways. Subscribe feeds at thebuzzerpod.com. Cheers.